Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I started giving on that level so that God would owe me.
Whatever you do right now, don't you stop tithing.
Harvest responds only to seed, not to prayer.
This is not about material wealth. This is about God in His providence orchestrating all of history in order to bring about that which we need more than anything else, and that is to be rescued from God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
From soul crushing to soul exalting. This is, I hope so anyway, this is Wretched Radio. Was simply going to share with you something that should make you go, oh, yes. What is that something? It is a video that I found on the YouTube machine. There I am trying to prepare the worship for Sunday morning. The theme, because we've got those at Alpharetta Bible Church, the theme, Jesus is coming back to separate the sheep from the goats. What will that day look like for you? It'll either be the most transcendent, magnificent, breathtaking, and the best kind of way day if you're in Christ. If you're not, you're going to come apart. It's going to be dreadful for you. And I'm looking through the YouTube to find worship music that talks about the return of the King, setting up His throne as He comes in glory with all of the angels. Can you imagine the sound that's going to make when Jesus returns from heaven? The blast of the trumpet, the shout of the angels. Jesus descends on a stallion with a sword coming out of His mouth, with blood on His thighs, with all of the angels. What kind of sound is that going to make? If you've ever heard a nature sound that's, well, like a big thunder clap, it's like, whoa. Imagine the sound when Jesus returns. And was looking for music that was in that theme. And I stumbled into what you're going to hear in a moment. And I thought, that's just so worth sharing. If you've never heard a contemporary worship song that's biblical, reverent, yep, it's contemporary in its vibe, but it's Christ exalting, which is what I think church on Sunday morning should be about. But I thought, just to help us appreciate what good contemporary worship music is, because there is some good contemporary worship music, there's also soul-crushing contemporary worship. And I'd like to share that with you first. And then we'll have our souls exalted. This is from a number of years ago. It stuck in my head because it was so preposterous. You are going to be shocked. You might actually be righteously indignant. This is one of those churches, you know, it's moody. It's got the lights dimmed. Bunch of young people. And this guy is going to lead the congregation in singing, "You Spin Me Right Round Jesus, Right Round Like a Record Player." Nope, not kidding. Now, had a choice. Could have queued up the video right to where he starts singing, but I thought, no, let's listen to his intro. The type of teaching that is coming out of these NAR-like silly centers.
Put a place of honor in our hearts for you, Lord. We know that we can't receive anything from anyone until we have honor in our hearts for them.
I don't know what that means. In a place of honor for your Lord, we're going to sing, is it Depeche Mode? "You spin me right round, baby, right round like a record player." In a place of honor and glory. And we can't receive anything from somebody until we honor them? What verse is that?
So just like Moses.
Oh boy.
As a sign of honor, as a sign that you are removing the things that separate you from the holy place. So I invite you to kick off your shoes right now.
Oh no. Why do feet always have to be involved in these things? I'm not kidding. Do you remember this tragic period of youth group gross out games still going on? I looked it up. I think we did a number of TV shows on it. It's just there's hundreds of gross out games, and a lot of them have to do with feet. I mean, remember the pastor down in Florida who put peanut butter between his toes and had the kids lick it out? Well, that was only after the parents complained because he'd put the peanut butter in his armpits to have the kids lick it out.
Then he decides it'll be better if I put it between my toes. The other gross out games, it involves boys and girls playing with their feet and putting food into the mouth of the other person with their feet. What's with all the feet business?
Come on, everybody all over this place. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are.
I hope there's nobody there that's old.
Kick your shoes off in this place.
By the way, dude has a really cool faux hawk.
And while you're down there, grab a couple socks.
That is in honor of you, Lord, like Moses.
Come on.
Tell me what we're going to do.
Everybody going to grab something to spin.
Okay. I see what we're doing here. You spin me right. And we're going to spin our socks.
You guys ready?
Yeah, man.
Come on, put those things up. Spin your shoes, sock keys, I don't care.
Okay, question. What are we doing here? We're taking off our socks so that we can spin them while we sing "You Spin Me Right Round Jesus." Honestly.
Everybody, gotta jump. You're not spinning anything. Come on, grab something.
I know they're there of their own volition, presumably. These kids.
Everybody!
Jumping up and down.
Yeah!
This is God exalting. Get to it, dude!
Let's sing this. You spin me right round, Jesus, right round, like a record, Jesus, right round, round, round. You spin me right round.
Jimmy, would you do me a favor, if you can endure it?
Please don't.
Yeah, go look up the lyrics to this song. I can't believe they're wholesome. This has got to be some sort of double entendre, some sort of shadowy language that probably isn't something that we should be thinking about when we're thinking about our Savior.
Jesus right round, like a wreck of Jesus right round, sing it out. Right round.
Give me the verse.
No. Right,
all right, here's what I'm gonna. By the way, this is 9 minutes and 59 seconds long. I wish I were joking. Now we're just gonna get him in a frenzy. Get the music going. Can't take it anymore. Now that our souls have been crushed, let's see if they can be exalted. And this will serve to do two things. One, to lift you up. And two, to let you know I'm not entirely curmudgeonly when it comes to contemporary worship music.
Oh, lift your eyes to heaven, see the Holy One eternal. Behold the Lord of Majesty, exalted in his temple. As symphonies of angels praise, now strain to sound his glory. Come worship, fall before his grace, the King in all his beauty.
How worthy.
How worthy. How worthy. How worthy. The King in all his beauty.
Who spins you right round, babe?
I see the King who wears the crown, one made of shame and splinter, the sacrifice for ruined man, the substitute for sinners. As earth is stained with royal blood and quakes with love and fury, he breathes his last and bows his head, the King in all his beauty.
Thank you.
the Savior.
Now see the Savior lifted up, the Lamb who reigns in splendor, the hope of every tribe and tongue. His kingdom is forever. Bring praise and honor to his courts. Bring wisdom, power, blessing. For endless ages will adore the King in all his beauty.
How worthy,
how worthy, how worthy, how worthy, the King in all his beauty. How worthy, how worthy, how worthy, the King in all his beauty.
Slight difference.
How worthy.
Better. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink, but what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young man struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Master's University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Master's University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Master's University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at FortisInstitute.org/lies. That's FortisInstitute.org/lies.
Know your reformers. Jan Hus, a Czech priest, was inspired by the writings of John Wycliffe to preach against papal excess and false doctrines such as transubstantiation. Even as he was burned at the stake by the Catholic Church, he continued to preach the gospel and sing the Psalms.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You spin me right round, Jesus, right round. That's a wretched Jesus, right round, round, round.
This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, you use the AI machine, I presume, to go find the lyrics for this worship song. You spin me right round, Jesus, based on... Was I right about the Depeche Mode?
Well, no, it's sung by Dead or Alive.
Dead or Alive.
Uh-huh. 1985.
That seems even better somehow. Depeche Mode. There was the song about your own personal Jesus. That was, I'm sure, used in worship services someplace. All right, the lyrics to You Spin Me Right Round, Baby,
right,
I suspect, aren't all that pristine.
No, they're not. Let's see. You Spin Me...
No, don't.
You don't want me to read it?
Well,
you want me to sing it?
No.
No, you don't.
If it's not worth repeating, let's not repeat it.
Yeah, it's probably not.
Okay, well, there, that says it all. And yet, this church turns it into a worship song. And even, so this song is from 1985?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Okay, so, all right, this song is actually, the video on the YouTube machine is 14 years old. All right, that brings us back to what, 2010-ish. 1985. That's still...
20 years old.
Just absolutely ridiculous. It's 25 years old, and they're being hip and relevant by having kids take off their shoes and socks and spin their socks around while they sing You Spin Me Right Round, Jesus. Now, everybody's trying to do it and pretend that they're into this. It's more like an aerobics class at a gym someplace. I'm just going to fast forward. What?
You spin me right round, Jesus.
And remember, this was to exalt the Lord like Moses. All right, fast forward.
You spin me right round.
All right, I'll fast forward another minute. That got a little rough. Another minute.
Start a love train. A love train.
Oh, wait. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait.
Break it down.
Hold on.
People all over the world. Join hands, start a love train, a love train.
Jimmy, would you be so kind to check out the year that this hip and relevant song was written? People all over the world, was it the OJs, the Spinners, something like that? Is it a song from the 60s? Being hip and relevant with the kids?
People all over the world, join hands.
It was the OJs.
OJs?
Train, uh-huh.
What year?
72.
72. I don't know why that glitches.
A love train. People all over the world.
All right, I'll fast forward another minute. And another minute.
Mess us up.
Well, you know what Bible verse that is. Another minute ahead. Another minute ahead. Another minute ahead. There it is. Give him glory. There you have it. I got Vilta Fish. This is Wretched Radio. Taking a dated, dirty song, turning it into a worship. This is like paganism. The jumping all around, getting ecstatic. It's like you expect to see this in some remote village where people are pagans dancing and jumping around with their socks off, of course, spinning them right round. Baby, this isn't Christianity. This is something else. And speaking of something that is pagan and that, I'm sorry, isn't Christianity, no doubt you're inbox, your feed. I think that's what they call it. Your feed is filled with stories about the death of the Pope, the conclave, and the election of the new Pope, which I think are they in there trying to do it right now? The conclave thing has a history. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but this system, I'm sorry. This is not Christian. Let's start with this headline from youcatholic.com. As Catholics, we venerate the relics of saints and martyrs to show proper reverence for the pious and holy lives that they led in service of God. The Catholic tradition of venerating the relics of saints and martyrs is one of the oldest within the church, stretching back to at least the year 156, with the veneration of the relics of Saint Polycarp. However, most people aren't aware of the little-known centuries-old tradition of preserving the hearts of deceased popes, and that one church in Rome has 22 papal hearts that are sitting there for people to look at, read about, maybe get their sins forgiven, because indulgences are alive and well in the Roman Catholic Church, and perhaps to be venerated. A heart from a pope who is dead for the last 800 years or more? I'm sorry, this is not Christian. The Baroque-style church of Saints Vincent and Anastasius at Trevi in Rome. It's right by the fountain, if you've ever been there. That's where all the movies, and that's usually where the couple gets together, by the Trevi fountain. Embalmed hearts of 22 popes, starting with Pope Sixtus V from 1583. I'm sorry, I exaggerated. The heart's only 500 years dead, not 800. My bad. To Pope Leo XIII from 1903, the tradition started in the 14th century when it was established that the body of a deceased pope would be mourned for 9 days. Well, you know the symbolism of the number nine, whatever. With suffrage masses being said each day, the practice, here it comes, was borrowed from the mourning ceremonies of Byzantine emperors. Because the pope was esteemed to be a political leader. He was a world force. The pope had armies. So how do you mourn the death of your emperor? Well, how do they do it? How do the pagans do it? We'll ape that. Because of the long interval between death and burial, a form of embalming was needed. The inner organs of the body were removed to prevent deterioration and then distributed as relics. A human heart being passed around as a relic. What is a relic? It's a touchstone. It is a way for you to visually see something that is somehow connected, well, maybe to Mary, maybe to a saint, maybe to Jesus. But it's intended also for you to venerate it so that your sins could be forgiven. The churches of St. Vincent and Anastasius at Trevi were chosen as the destination for these hearts, where they are still there today, not beating. That's just so pagan. And just really, you want to talk about like not even being in the modern era? I mean, seriously? 10 surprising facts about papal conclaves. Not all of them were noteworthy, but some of these were kind of interesting. The longest election of a pope took place in 1268, when the death of Pope Clement the IV led to a conclave of 1,006 days. 3 years of pope news, please! Let the white smoke fly. Which, by the way, if you're not familiar with the white smoke business, black smoke, I didn't know. I mean, I knew that they did the white smoke when they elected a pope, but I didn't know what was burning. From this article at Time, after every round of votes, all ballots submitted by cardinals are burned. So much for record keeping. If a majority has been achieved and a new pope elected, white smoke will rise from the chimney. If the majority is not met, then the ballot papers will be added to a mixture of potassium percolate. It's a chemical, anthracene, and sulfur to create the black smoke. So they're burning the ballots. A different recipe of potassium chlorate, lactose, and chloroform resin will be added to the papers and burned to create white smoke if a pope has been elected. You know where that is in the Bible, don't you? Going back now to 1268, 1,006 days is what it took. They were locked away. In an attempt to influence cardinals and establish communication between the conclave and the outside world, messages have previously been hidden in food coming into the Sistine Chapel during the voting process. So, foods that could conceal messages, such as pies and chickens, as well as cutlery and glasses, have been prohibited. Whew. Following tradition for the upcoming conclave, nuns will prepare local food such as lamb skewers, spaghetti, and boiled vegetables for cardinals. Let's hope they don't sneak in any notes into the conclave where this system goes on that is simply not biblical and is a part of something that is, in so many aspects, foreign to Christianity, downright pagan. Papal parts? This is Wretched Radio.